Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into Native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
This is Chinook Patterns. I'm Deborah Niedermeyer. Rural villages aren't equipped with hotels and restaurants, but they do get visitors. Often, agency representatives, construction workers, or tourists arrive in a village as strangers both to the people there and to the village's customs and lifestyles. Still, most guests must depend on the village for food and lodging. Making sure there is fair payment for the hospitality can be awkward and confusing on both sides. Unprepared or unexpected visitors are another problem for both host and guest. A surprise visitor arriving without a sleeping bag may have nowhere at all to stay. Velma Schaefer participated in a panel for state and federal agency representatives last spring, outlining the do's and don'ts of village travel. Schaefer grew up in Allakaket.
Allakaket has about 160 people, I think. It's on the bank of the Kaikuk River, and it's a small village. It has mostly log houses and mostly Athabascan Indians with Eskimo people, you know, from that migrated from Kobuk. They settled across the river from Allakaket, and it's called Alatna. So there's mixed, uh-huh. And, you know, it makes it nice.
Do you get very many visitors in Allakaket?
We do. They have, you know, people coming in from all different agencies, you know, like Tana Chiefs or BIA or Fish and Game, you know, all people like that, state people, construction workers, you know, all different kinds.
Why do they come?
The health, you know, health aid people I work with, it's like nurses from town that, you know, train them sometimes in the village, help them with the like serious problems, if there's a serious kind of sickness. They train the health aid how to take care of them, or if there's 10 that chiefs people come, you know, it's for some kind program, you know, or project they have to work on. And construction people usually stay, you know, longer, like maybe a month or all summer. They come most, the construction workers come mostly in summertime.
What are they involved in?
Sometimes it's building the school, and sometimes it's on the airport or roads. They're building small roads.
And then the agency people are in for training?
Yeah, some, you know, so for short periods, like maybe 2 days or 3 days or maybe a week. But they don't stay, you know, like for 2 weeks at a time. They just stay just for a few days.
How is it that they come?
Most of them, you know, they notify the village people before they come. So mm-hmm. the village people know they're coming. But sometimes what they don't do is they don't say, you know, why they're coming or, you know, exactly what they want to do. And most of the times if they don't do that, the people aren't prepared, you know, to make big decisions. And, you know, that's really important, I think.
So, like, the agency people are coming in expecting the village to make some sort of decision
uh-huh.
which they can take back to the agency, but they never said why they were coming.
Uh-huh. And like this spring when I did a panel for Tana Chiefs, I told them that it's important that, you know, they write a letter ahead and say when they're coming and, you know, how long they'll stay and what they hope to get out of that meeting or whatever they're going up for. And that way the people, you know, will try to prepare ahead of time to make that decision, because our people deal with, how they deal with things is like they don't just get all together, you know, in one place and have meeting and decide. Like the younger people, you know, mostly are involved in the village council and, you know, anything, any committees, you know, only mostly young people. They try to involve the old people, but, you know, some of the old people, you know, can't read and they can't write, and they, you know, they keep saying, you know, they can't do this or they can't do that. And, you know, we try to tell them that, you know, they should feel free to make, you know, help make a decision or tell us about something we're doing if it's not right. And so how our people do things is that, you know, that like the younger people would sit at a meeting and they'd go home, and you know, if the grandma's there or grandpa, they'll tell their grandparents, you know, this is what we discussed at a meeting. And this is what they told us that we should decide on. You know, what do you think? And sometimes the grandmother, you know, or grandfather, they wouldn't answer right away. You know, they'll wait for a while and they'll think about it. And they wouldn't say, this is the decision we'll make. They wouldn't say that, but they'll say, you know, this is what I think. And then it just keeps going like that until then the younger people, you know, get talk. You know, they don't have a special meeting or anything. They talk about it and they say, you know, oh, this is what the, you know, so-and-so said. And then by that, you know, they make their decisions. And that's how they used to deal with things long time ago. It's not, you know, one person's decision.
So this takes time.
Mm-hmm. It takes time.
So a person who comes in and asks for a decision in 2 days that no one knew about before,
it would be hard to do. Sometimes, you know, it might not be the right decision. So that, you know, it's hard for the people at home because sometimes it's not right for them, but it's already been decided that they should do this or that.
When people come in, where do they stay?
Most of them stay, there's a clinic, they have a clinic in most of the villages now that was put there by Tana chiefs, I think. Most of them stay there, and some of them, you know, stay with village people. They're supposed to, you know, pay per diem, but, you know, some of them don't. That's one of the biggest problems. It's discussed a lot, you know, among people, you know, but they never really talk about it, and that's one of the things I talked about earlier this spring was that, because I was told that even if they stay in the clinic, they're still supposed to give their part of their per diem, you know, whatever amount they give to the village council so they could use it for, like, dog races or potlats or, you know, stuff like that. And if they stay with, you know, certain people, then they're supposed to, you know, give that person, you know, part of that money.
This is agency people coming mm-hmm. in who are staying. Do you think they forget or they don't know or they just keep it?
I think it's mostly because, you know, they're not asked to, you know, they don't say, you know, this is how much I charge for you to stay in my house, or this is how much I charge you for staying at the clinic, you know. Our people don't ask for things. In our tradition, we don't, you know, go and ask people, you know, oh, I want this or I want that, because it wasn't nice, you know, you might offend someone. And so, you know, when people come in, they expect, you know, those people to say, oh, this is how much you owe me. But yet, that's not how we deal with it. We don't say, it's the same thing like begging. If they say, oh, you know, leave $5 on the table for your lunch, you know, that's just like begging for them, because they don't know how to ask for things. They, you know, it's up to the person to decide, you know, to take that consideration and think about that other person. You know, that's how they think about each other.
And so the people they're staying with don't ask, and people coming in from the outside often don't think about paying unless they're asked.
Mm-hmm.
So does that make hard feelings when they leave?
Sometimes it does, because, you know, people in Alaska, you know, there's all kinds of people, like for myself, you know, I know people from all parts of Alaska, because I traveled, you know, around for different things, you know, just little things, like sometimes visiting or for my job, you know, sometimes I used to travel and stuff. So I know people from all over, like Kotzebue and Barrow and down Cake, and, you know, just all over. And, you know, they all know each other, like that little, you know, just small amount of people here and there. So if you set, you know, a bad example one time, you know, you're all over, people say, you know, something about you. And so it makes it hard, because they'll say, oh, you know, so-and-so said this or so-and-so said that. And, you know, everybody who know you, you know, if they hear that, they'll know that you're not very nice.
When people come in, do they have beds or do they unroll a sleeping bag on the floor?
Usually, you know, the people, if they stay with a person, you know, who have kids in high school and they're not home, and you know, they use those rooms. But if people with, you know, small, a lot of kids, you know, all the beds are used and you know, they use the sleeping bag. But like for myself, I never leave my sleeping bag at home. Every time I go someplace, you know, I take my sleeping bag, and my husband does the same, because, you know, in case we ever get stuck, you know, someplace without a bed, you know, we always have our bed, sleeping bag with us. I've never, stayed at a clinic, because everywhere I go, you know, I know people, so, you know, I stay with people, and I have a lot of relatives all over, so, you know, I stay with them. But, you know, even that, I still, you know, give them what I think I owe them. You know, I don't leave without bringing anything, and I don't leave without leaving anything. And, you know, that really makes it good for ourselves, because they, when they see us again, you know, they're really happy to see us. And they say, oh, you know, when you visited me, you did this for us. You know, thank you. You know, really appreciate that. And, you know, it makes me feel good and it makes them feel good.
What do you bring with you when you go visiting?
Sometimes I bring meat, you know, like rabbits, or sometimes I bring fish if I have fish. And if I don't have that, you know, I buy chicken or pork chop, you know, something different from what they eat every day, and, you know, bring that to them. And they don't have to cook it for me. You know, they just, I just say, you know, this is what I brought for you. Or, you know, bread or just anything, oranges, apples, whatever I think they like, you know, from chains of what they have every day. Because some places, you know, they don't get, they don't have, you know, big stores like we do, and it's hard to get that kind of stuff. And sometimes it costs too much, you know, in the villages.
Suppose a person works for an agency in town and needs to go out to a village, and they've never been out there before. What would you say to them?
I know a lot of people like that, you know, who know me, and like if, you know, if they're non-native, mm-hmm. and they always somehow get a hold of me and, you know, ask me, like, you know, what should we do, what should we bring, and, you know, what kinds of things we do, should we do. And, you know, I tell them, you know, I don't have all the answers. You know, I'm just giving you a little of, you know, what kind of things you might expect and they might expect from you. Because with even the talking business or, you know, the gestures we use, you know, is different from what they, how they use it out there. And even, you know, the level of the voice is different. And it depends on if they're going up for, what they're going up for, you know, who they should write to. I mean, that's important that they contact the right person. They should always, you know, send letter to the village office, because that's where the phone usually is. And they post, you know, a letter saying, you know, so-and-so is coming at this time, and, you know, this is what they'll do. And, you know, they should do that. And then I tell them, you know, little things like when they get off the airplane, they shouldn't, you know, expect somebody to carry their bags and tell them, you know, where they should go. Because if they do that, you know, it's hard to explain. You know, if they get off the airplane and, you know, just start saying, you know, where should I stay, or, you know, stuff like that, that's really hard, because, you know, right away people, you know, start looking at each other and saying, you know, we don't even know this person, you know, we don't even know why he's here. See, if he didn't send the letter. But if he sent a letter and say, you know, that, you know, I'd like a place to stay, could you find me a place, maybe you could contact me here. And, you know, if all the arrangements are made ahead of time, then, you know, he'll have place to stay when he get there. And that will make it a lot easier for the person and the people.
We'll hear more traveler's tips from Velma Schaefer on village customs and etiquette next week on Chinook. I'm Deborah Niedermeyer. Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.